You are listening to the Hustle and Glow podcast with Francesca Alexander. During this time, some businesses are shutting down their social media to cut expenses on apps or even ads during this economic crisis. This is not the time to stop social media. This is a time to ramp it up, connect, and show you have a strong business presence or about to reopen. We are introducing Social Collab. Social Collab is designed to help small or solo business owners to create compelling social media. And the best part, it's free. Go in today's show notes below and click on the Social Collab link to join. Hey there, and welcome to Hustle and Glow. I'm Francesca Alexander, and I am in week 7 of isolation, and we are humming along on level 2, which is great. I'm really, really excited as we open up and we open just in general back to the public and get to see people that I really like to connect with. I'm excited, and there's a little part of me that's a little anxious about it. I'm not a hypochondriac. However, I did find myself shopping for a mask that I can wear all the time that had a layer of charcoal in it too, so for that extra protection. So, I don't know. Feeling good about seeing people, but I think the initial shock of seeing people is going to be a little... there's going to be some anxiety around it, I think. Not that I'm not seeing people now. I mean, of course, I'm going to like doing everyday shopping and stuff like that. But I have like my PPE on, you know what I mean? Like I got my mask, I got my gloves. And then I got to kind of reintroduce myself to society. The cool thing is that New Zealand is still doing very well in very little to no new reports of COVID-19 people or people that are affected by that. So that's great. The other part of me is just literally like wincing and not wanting to find out what's going on back home in Los Angeles. Of course I am. Like every morning I'm listening to NPR and checking out the news by sliding into the news area on my phone and just checking to see, oh God, what happened? What's the news? What's the latest Rose Garden incident? Ugh, I mean, awful. But I guess I'm digressing a little bit. There's a lot of powerful stuff that I do want to talk about. And one of the things that was kind of interesting is I wanted to do 2 podcasts a week. In the beginning, I think I'm going to go ahead and slide down to 1 just because I feel like, well, I'm in the middle of launching as well. So although this is fun and creative, I think I need to go and streamline and do the work that I need to do to launch. So I can't do 2 of these because I get really, and this is the fun part, I get to like spiral into that creative rabbit hole. And I really like doing it. I like to just sort of put the layers together and do the podcast and do little bits just like this little intro here. And I was going to do a health and wellness segment for this particular podcast. But then I was thinking, oh, you keep holding back a lot. And I've talked to you before when we're talking about the divisive breakdown, which is what, just a couple of episodes back. That was hard for me to do. And the other thing is I took on some criticism past that podcast, you know, polite remarks about, oh, you should go ahead and do Toastmasters. Yeah, I get it. I also don't have, I don't have the best grammar when I'm emotional. So a lot of these high touch emotional conversations I'm having, I stutter. First of all, when I was a kid, full disclosure, I had a lot of traumatic events happen to me, just like right there. It's a little slip, right? And I didn't speak for a long time, and I stuttered during like grade school, and I forced myself to get into acting when I was in high school just so I could work through it. But it was like, I didn't tell anybody. It was just like my personal thing to like work through it. I still have struggles just speaking without any impediment or not grammatically correct. And for me, like, I get it. It's okay. Like, I am fine to do it. There are a lot of people that, like, for me anyway, when I'm speaking, like I'm speaking now, I'm speaking the words as I think about it. So it's not always, doesn't always come out correctly or with a good flow. I'm sure with the more podcasts that I do, I will start to seem a little bit more effortless. I do not want to write scripts, although this next one is script. Definitely wrote some script and some prompts for me to stay on track of this particular story. And this is me in my experience when I worked at MAC Cosmetics. I worked there for, I'm almost forgetting how long I worked there, but it had to be close to 9 years in Los Angeles. And it was like the worst of times, and it was the best of times. Like, I really enjoyed that job, and I loved having working with clients that really felt the transformation, and I was helping them feel that way and changing their perspective on their own personal beauty. And it was amazing. The flip side was I was working for a company that wasn't friendly and diverse sizes. At the time, I was close to 300 pounds from a very unhappy marriage and an unhappy life. And the other piece was I was a woman of color, so I did not necessarily fit into that mold. And every area is different. The Los Angeles mold was very Hollywood. You know what I mean? That beautiful, if you were to cast that role, it would be a gorgeous, beautiful, slender model. And I wasn't that at all. But I felt confident in my appearance because I knew makeup artistry. And for a lot of women that are bigger than normal size, we really dive into the beauty aspect because we can control that. The other part is a lot of work, but it was really hard to do this podcast. It was hard for me to recognize that, okay, in fact, I don't even think I mentioned my size in it. I might have. I recorded it and then I put it on the shelf, so to speak, and didn't want to talk about it for a while. They were some racial tones that I've experienced. Very tough. And also, I was confronted a few times of how I didn't look the part. And that was really tough for me to hear. I almost wanted to say traumatic because it was a bit traumatic. It's traumatic when someone looks at you and says, yeah, we hired you for this and you're not really cutting it. That was really, really hard. The corporate setting that I was in, one of the things that they would do is they would say like, hey, let's go to the espresso bar and talk a little bit about your opportunities. That was code word for, let me just take you outside and really give you a tongue lashing and tell you how inferior you are. And it was a lot to take on. And a part of me didn't want to talk about anything again, going back to those original narrative where I hear in my head, like, just keep it positive. Don't talk about anything negative. But I think now more than ever, it's important to talk about the things that were not positive. Because if we don't talk about them, there's no room for change. And although I admire what MAC Cosmetics and the senior artist, especially the senior artist, have taught me while I was working there, I did not appreciate the management that tried to pin me down. And it was quite unfair, really unfair. So I'm going to actually share this with you. It's quite interesting because I don't think a lot of people talk about their work experiences in this way. So it'd be really interesting to get what you guys are thinking about it, I'll put some links in the show notes because I'd love for you to talk to me on social media and let me know what you thought about this episode. So here it is, episode 41, circa 1997, MAC Cosmetics. The year was 1997 in Los Angeles. I was a 26-year-old Francesca interviewing for the coveted MAC Cosmetics makeup artist role. This was my second interview at the Beverly Center. The interview was bringing in a model, and then a MAC trainer would tear a sheet out of a glossy magazine to see if you can execute the look. I instinctively like went through all of the, you know, the look and pull products and skincare that would just produce that sheen in the skin that appeared in the magazine. I went outside the proverbial makeup box and to execute that look. I just went, wow, what else can I put on this girl's face to make it look like that? I went home, a total nervous wreck, waiting for one last call back and final interview. I was asked back, interviewed, and finally got hired, which was really, really exciting for me. I knew this would help me change my life. I went to the obvious and started changing my look, my appearance, almost immediately, and made sure that all my black clothes were really stylish and on point. There was one thing that wasn't a normal kind of look for MAC makeup artists, and that was my weight. With nearly 300 pounds, I was nearly 300 pounds, that's like nearly like 136 kilos, there was not anyone that, I wasn't anyone that you would expect on the, like the cosmetic sales floor at all. I mean, remember, I was in Los Angeles, so my colleagues were like actresses and models. Oh, that Estee Lauder girl over there? Well, yeah, she just made an appearance in Law & Order. Oh, and that Clinique girl over there? She was in that denim advertisement in last month's Vanity Fair. Like, that was like my life. It was like insane. Also, this was a time, if you remember, that Gwen Stefani was a Lancome girl in Anaheim. So, like, these were the women that I worked with. It was like unreal, flawless women. Trust me when I say this, it was soul crushing. From time to time to overhear management put me down over my weight. For me, this was an extension of what racism feels like. When I was motivated to show up and be better than my counterparts in sales, style, and get even like, I wanted to get like a cult following in customers that people would come see me particularly. So I worked all the time. I really, really was dedicated to this role. It was up to me, not the negative chatter that I would overhear from management. This, all of this positivity that needed to spin around was all up to me. And I remember that going into every day, no matter what you hear, this is my journey. I didn't say journey at the time, but I was like, this is my life. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm impressionable with everybody around me. During this time, I had some total mental health challenges. I was actually diagnosed as a functional anxiety disorder. Between panic attacks, I would appear to be fine and just overwork to compensate for anything from management. I mean, I would overcompensate to make sure if there was any scrutiny for management, like I would be exceptional in everything. I eventually learned that, or I needed to make these really kind of positive interactions with management. And so I was intentionally positive. I started building relationships with those who weren't really sure if I would fit into the role. And this went on for years. It wasn't like, oh, Francesca had a couple of bad months. No, it was almost every year, if we had a change of management within our team or in the outer side team, I'd have to prove myself all over again because I just didn't look like a MAC cosmetic girl at the time. Eventually, I relaxed and got to enjoy the interactions with customers that wanted to have that instant change or they wanted to vary their look. My most memorable experiences with these women was really working with women who were of mature age or were not really confident. And I really tried to have them look at their real beauty that they were. They were all beautiful. I never had an ugly woman in my chair ever. all women are beautiful, and anything that took in, that I saw that was just kind of radiant, or bone structure, eye color, just the way their skin color is, anything, I would point it out to them. And in that very moment, they would start to sort of appreciate who they were. And for that, that was like my thing. That was my spark of the day, was to get a woman to realize how beautiful they were. When I got a woman to appreciate herself in the mirror and turn the conversation from fixing or correcting whatever you know, attribute that she didn't like, I had her look at this moment as if this wasn't a moment to correct, but this was a moment to really adorn yourself with makeup and color and pigments, and really appreciate your skin texture, the color of your skin, and really, really own it. Even particularly making sure, especially for women of color, getting the right exact color tonality on your skin is liberating. You actually can live who you are. And these were my point of difference. So people started coming to see me for the appreciation moment that they can actually sink into my chair and feel that, you know, adorn moment. Like we're adorning you with cosmetics. This is nothing, you know, that you really necessarily need, but we're going to have fun. You know what I mean? So women should use cosmetics really just to probably either go out or do something quick. But I really made sure that they knew that this was an enhancement that was just appreciated by different pigments that we could use. And it really was an extension of self-care, as we know it today. I mean, really, it really was. But it took a while, I think, for some clients to understand that. And I would always invite them to come back in, and they didn't have to buy anything. But, you know, we really need to continue this chair session, you know, see what they really like about it. So it was really, really great. I really went into that, and I really, really, that was like my magic sweet spot. I eventually left the company after 9 years, and it was not always positive. At the time, it was a very toxic environment, but this was part of my business development story. What worked and what did not work, I knew it at the end of those 9 years. How women were managed, really managed, this was crazy. It's a cosmetic industry, but the higher ups were men. So they were managed by men in a very toxic alpha culture environment. And kindness was never a part of that conversation or the business model, which is really, really interesting. We're finding now that the more that you put in kindness in business, the more sustainability and also the energy of reinvention within a business model always reoccurs when you have kindness. I could just imagine how different my life would be as a 26-year-old now with all the knowledge that I have from my past experience. I would definitely laugh more. I would enjoy my surroundings. Instead of always being intimidated by it, I would play. I would make it my own. And that is what I'm doing now, really. I'm sure you have career stories just like mine that break you and make you. I am here to remind you that no matter what your circumstances are, you have the power to change it. I went on to do freelance makeup artistry within Los Angeles, and actually worked with some Hollywood studios in pilot seasons, and eventually landed a great job as a sales marketer with a skincare and spa in Beverly Hills. I didn't know it then, but I was on my way to make a difference. That's it. That's my little short podcast for today. Thank you for joining me. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Hustle and Glow podcast so I can attract listeners just like you. This is Francesca Alexander, and I look forward to connecting with you in our next podcast. Bye for now. how many of you miss a good meetup group? I have a meetup group here in Oakland called the Hustle and Glow Network. The Hustle and Glow Network was founded on the principles of empowering small businesses to activate and understand basic principles in social media. And since this time in particular, we are opening the group worldwide. So all you have to do is go to the meetup website and type in Hustle and Glow Network, and you'll find me there. Also, I'll be sure to put the link in the bio, or link in the bio. It's always in the bio, but link in the show notes as well. I'd love for you to come in and check it out. We have weekly meetings for now, just to check in to see how we can collectively shift our mindsets. And as we are slowly or still in business, we need a network of women to help support each other. And this is that place. And the best part of it is, yeah, it's free. We just want to connect with other women just like you. Check out the link in the show notes, and I hope to see you on the next one. Thanks for listening. But before you go, I want to include an exclusive free offer for my listeners. I know, as an online business owner and owner of a marketing agency, that planning your social media like Instagram or LinkedIn can be exhausting, or you don't have the time or energy to get this done. Let me take this off your plate. Our wish for you is to make life just a little bit easier. Sign up for our free instant social media monthly content calendar at socialglobalgrind.com. Or you can just go to the show notes and click on the link. Thanks for listening.